You ready to get in the Word? Yeah, amen. After that. Cool. Well, Dave and Mindy are in Israel and preparing for the group to get out there. So be praying for them and that they'd have an incredible time and people would stay healthy. Huh? Amen? All right. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to continue with the Faith Box series I started in June of last year. And I love the concept of the Faith Box. It's a great visual for me. Hopefully it is for you as well. The list you have is a list that has been growing in terms of the little Faith Boxes that are inside of your overall Faith Box as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so let me just reintroduce for you, take a few moments and reintroduce for you the whole concept of the Faith Box. But let's pray first, okay? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that we be filled with your Spirit, that we on our part would have ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to us this morning. We pray that you would be honored and glorified in all of this, and that your people would be built up and blessed, Father, and that their faith would grow, and that their faith would be alive. And in their lives. And we pray this and ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. So the Faith Box reintroduction. And I want to thank my study to teach class that I did. The class is finished now. We're going to do a part two of that in the fall. My study to teach class, the inspiration for this additional sermon on the Faith Box actually came out of that class. Ryan, you were part of that, and where are you, Dallas? You're here somewhere, and so it was, thank you guys, and so hopefully you'll recall my talking about these things in our class, the study to teach. So our introductory question in June of 2019 was this: how are non-living, non-acting nouns made into living verbs? Is that possible? Can a noun become a verb? And I will tell you, it must. It must in our walk with Jesus Christ. The Oxford Living Dictionary tells us a rather common pattern is for a word to have two parts of speech. Many words function as both nouns and verbs. Technically, this very common process in English is known as conversion. Conversion, okay? One particular form of conversion is nouns being made alive as verbs, okay? This specific process is called verbing, taking a noun and verbing it. Converting a non-static or non-moving, non-acting noun into an action figure, if you will. Whether that action is desiring or attituding or is verbal or is actually seen in our daily walk of life as we go about. These conversions that are first nouns are describing our life as nouns, what we are. These nouns are not just descriptions or adjectives, but verbalized nouns reveal who we are in action. When it comes to the noun faith, what do we call it when faith becomes a verb? Typically in English, we say believing, believing. When belief becomes a verb, we say believing. We could say faithing, faithing, which sounds somewhat awkward and is difficult to roll off the tongue. But I like faithing. It directly takes off from the non-acting noun faith to verbing, faithing. Our conversion to Christianity occurs when we go from faith to faithing, okay? How shall they hear? You need to have received faith before you can act upon it and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. So our own personal conversions go from faith to faithing, or less awkwardly, believing. The Greek noun for faith is used 244 times, generally translated faith. The Greek verb for faith is used 248 times, almost the same number, as the noun version. The verb form is generally, but not always, translated believe, believed, believing, etc. The number of both of them suggest a balanced life of knowing what we believe, our faith box, if you will, and faithing, believing, thinking, desiring, attituding, responding, doing, living out our faith or faithing. Faith and faithing are a huge subject, so where does one start? You would start, and the ladies are going to be doing this, already started, you'd start Hebrews 11. The noun faith is used 24 times in this chapter alone, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, always translated faith. It's a noun, 24 times. The verb form for faith is used only once, and it's in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, and it is translated believe in Hebrews 11. But I would argue that faithing is taking place every time the writer says these two words, by faith, and then there is some action that follows after that. He or she did the following, as in Hebrews 11, 4, by faith Abel offered. His action was he offered. He offered what? A more excellent. How did he know what was excellent? Because of his faith, the noun of what he knew and believed about God and what he expected with regards to a sacrifice. By faith he offered. So his faith turned into an action of offering a more excellent sacrifice. Abel went from the noun faith, which he knew and believed, to faithing he offered. That phrase, by faith, is used 18 times in Hebrews 11. We could, by context, just as easily use the awkward phrase, by faithing, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, Hebrews 11, 4. Abel's faith now told him what kind of sacrifice to offer. It came time for him to offer sacrifice, and his faith, what he knew and believed from God, converted to faithing, to action, and he did it. So faithing goes on in Hebrews 11, 18 times. James also says it best when talking about the need to convert a faith noun into a faith verb in James 2, 17 through 18. Thus also, faith, noun, James, it's a noun by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. This is converting the noun faith into faithing or believing. The scary thing about James's exhortation is that incorrect faith, what we believe, will lead to incorrect faithing. What we believe will lead to how we live it out. If our doctrine is incorrect, it will in some small or large way lead to bad faithing. For example, replacement theology has led to, among other things, anti-Semitism. Born out of the allegorical method of biblical hermeneutics, started by a man named Origen and brought to fruition by Augustine, the allegorical method of biblical interpretation, which allegorizes the scriptures that speak of the future of Israel. Through allegorizing, the church replaces Israel in the future kingdom of God. Why? Because of the basic theology of those who use the allegorical method of interpretation. That theology says that Israel forfeited all future kingdom claims because the Jews are Christ killers. There are a lot of things wrong with that doctrine, especially when we realize that the greatest Christ killer of all was God the Father. Think about that. And then there is the fact that my sins killed him. I am the Christ killer. So what did this doctrine lead to? The Spanish Inquisition. Spanish Inquisition, when it really took off, started in a particular town where the Spanish population killed 50,000 Jews in one day because of bad doctrine. They were all churchgoers. They were part of Christendom. The Spanish Inquisition, the Holocaust, all started and were justified by bad church theology. So be careful of what's in your faith box. So let's read our verses for this message. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And that is the title of our message. Peter is exhorting these scattered Jewish Christians to add to their faith. To add what, Peter? Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, finally, love. Seven things to add to their faith or to their faith box. For if these things, these seven things, are yours and they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, these seven things, is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now, show the list here. The Master Faith Box list, I have updated this. Peter has commanded me to add these seven things to my faith box. Six of them were not in here. The words that are in bold are the words you find in 2 Peter chapter 1, okay? Added to. Only love was already there. So, being obedient, I added them to our list. Now, let's just talk about this for a minute, this list. So, we have a class on Saturday mornings, and it's a theology class. There are women and men that come. We have a teenager that's been coming for 4 or 5 years who was not a teenager when he started coming. So shame on you if you think this is over your head. It is not. So we are taking these alphabetical order, and we are going through each of them in some detail. We put down on 1 to 12 pages what the doctrine of Adam is, and so on and so forth. And then we talk about it in class, and we discuss it, and we get heated sometimes, and we work it out. We're working out our salvation. We want to understand these things. These are a part of our faith box, and we need to understand them as best we can. Right, Rich? So we are down to body, soul, and spirit. We've been 3 weeks Saturday mornings on body, soul, and spirit. It's been incredible. But we're going to go through this list, and I probably will be dead by the time we get to the last one. Zion, okay. There'll probably be more added to it as we go, but that's okay. You know, the rupture before the rapture or vice versa, I don't care. And so anyways, that's what we do with this, and it's been, I have grown my faith. My little faith boxes, all of these faith boxes, by the way, are in my faith box. I've had 46 years to add and grow my faith, my faith box. So they're all there, but I am learning so much, the depth. And I've had to get rid of, I had to repent of some things. Go, well, you know what? That was wrong. I believe that. I'm not going to tell the class that, but it's been really, really good. So that's our master list. There's about 200 of them on here, and we draw from the scriptures and put it together. In our verses in 2 Peter 1:5-7, there are seven words/phrases we are commanded to add to our faith. To our faith box. So being obedient, I did it. I did that. So I added all of the words that were missing in our list. Love was already there on our list. Okay. These seven nouns are not adjectives. These are nouns. These are nouns. And these are things that we are to be. To be. Not to be just descriptions of us. That would be an adjective. But they're to be that, and by being, we will be described that way. And I want to say this, that these are not salvation add-ons. These are not add-ons to how you get saved. Peter is not telling us additional requirements for salvation, but add to our existing faith, or faith box, if you will allow me. Many of these words are probably already in Peter's faith box, and in the faith box of his hearers, those who would be reading this letter. But they're probably mixed in among the many other doctrines that are on this list. See how scattered these words are and bold on your list. And what he's done in 2 Peter has done what? He's put them together. He has linked them together in some fashion and for some purpose, okay? So how do I know he's linked them together? Well, look at how Peter links them as a sevenfold unit, singular unit, like a chain, if you will. Remember, these were scattered all over. Now they've been brought to the forefront and they're linked together for particular purposes. He says this, but also for this very reason, in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. And finally, to brotherly kindness, add love. Okay? Notice how he repeats each link as he adds another link. This is deliberate. There's nothing coincidental about anything in the Bible. These are linked together and in a particular order. We're not going to go into the meanings of these words or why they are in this order. Dave will do so when he returns. We need to leave him something to do in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Right? Didn't he say he's going to start 2 Peter? I believe so. Well, we've got to leave something for him, right? Amen? Okay. So he'll go into all of that. That's not our point this morning. The point is that all of these things probably existed within Peter's faith box and within most of his readers. But now he's done what? He has gathered them up and linked them together in a particular order for a particular reason, for a particular need that they have. And what I found over 46 years, that this happens all the time with me, happens all the time with my wife. The more I hide the Word of God into my faith box, the more I understand the great doctrines of the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit will bring up several things together and sequentially and do so. If we listen, he does this all the time. Let us also add, though many or all of these doctrinal nouns have been in his faith box, they were not linked together like this and not in this order. They were not at the forefront of their thought life before they read this letter until we commanded them, he commanded them to link them together. Therefore, they needed to be either added or resurfaced, if you will. They needed to be linked sequentially. The Greek word for add is used 5 times in the New Testament. This is one of them. It is translated nourished once and supply the other 3 times. And here it is the word add. Okay? The other four usages speak of nourishment and supplies that the Lord gives us to lead an abundant and victorious life. Here we are to diligently add what we need, the nourishment and the supply that we need at this time. So why did he tell them to add to their faith box? Peter tells us in verse 5, and verse 5 starts out this way, but also for this very reason, add to your faith. Also for this very reason. Our question is what? What very reason? Okay. Let's look back and look at verses 3 through 4 to see if we can determine for what very reason he wants us to add these to our faith. Verse 3, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We have access to everything that we need. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises for the future, that through these you may be partakers, and that partakers is right now, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then verse 5, but also for this very reason. What reason? Because you have escaped. You have escaped. Add to your faith. Okay. To make these promises real and to not lose heart and vision for the future and to not be taken prisoner again. Add these things to your faith box so that you are not imprisoned again as a believer. Okay. Not a loss of salvation, a loss of witness, a loss of joy, a loss of abundant life. So for this reason, so that you will not be captured again by sin in the world, add to your faith box. This is not a casual add-on, but an urgent one. Verse 5 continues, giving all, what's the word there? Diligence. Add to your faith. The Greek word for diligence is used 12 times in the New Testament. It means bring every effort to. So Saturday mornings, we bring every effort we can to our study of all of these different doctrines because we want to be sure that they're added to our faith box correctly and that they become verbs in our life. It means to do so with haste. Do this right away, Peter is saying. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, do so with effort, with haste, add to your faith. Two consequences are given in verses 8 through 9 for adding to your faith. The first is positive. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the experiential knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I added the word experiential because that's the implication of the intensive form of the word to know here in your experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if you do these things, if you add these things, not only will you not be taken captive again, but you will not be barren and you will not be unfruitful if these things abound in your life. Abound and therefore be neither barren or fruitful suggests life. It suggests activity. In our faith box world, these words are suggesting that faith as a noun must be converted to a verb. This has to happen. These nouns must become action figures, if you will. We don't have 200 or so doctrines in our faith box in order to create an impressive library. Well, look at my great library of doctrines. Aren't you impressed? I'll be more impressed when I see them living in your life. Amen? But we have the Holy Spirit, and with each other, we attend to their growth and fruitfulness in our life. That's why we gather. That's why we have community groups. That's why we have Tuesday morning men's study. That's why we have Thursday morning, Thursday evening women's study. That's why we have a theology class on Saturday mornings. And everybody is welcome to that class. Jump in at any time. The water is fine. It gets a little rocky sometimes, right, Rich? But it's good. But it's all good. Through the conversion of faith nouns, of we attend our growth, and we need to, A, we need to know what our faith is, and then we need to convert it to a verb, okay? Verse 8 again. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They must abound. They must multiply, spread. It's if they're going to take over. But isn't that the goal for them to take over? Our faith box doctrines then become the Chia doctrine. This is the new term for you, the Chia doctrines. Okay, just add the water of the Holy Spirit and watch them grow. We are to take our Chia doctrine seeds, add water, let them penetrate into the soil of our heart. Now, I want to show you the original Chia Pet commercial. Nah, don't pause yet. Okay, right there. Right there, pause. Okay, what do you see?
Baptism.
Baptism, okay. Very good. No. Guess what? She's a part of our theology class. Yeah, she is, and her husband, and her son next to her. Okay, so what's this made of? It's clay. What does Paul say? Joey, where are you? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen clay vessels. Do you have any idea how cheap this is? Do you have any idea how fragile this is? We have this treasure. Why would God put such an expensive treasure, His gospel, His life, His spirit, His word in such a cheap, fragile vessel, because He gets all the glory. Amen? Okay. So what else does this suggest? It suggests baptism. Put it into water. Baptism. What else does water suggest? Holy Spirit. It also suggests the washing and the cleansing of the water of the word. Okay? So, you've got this clay vessel. It's been saved. Now it's been baptized. Now it's soaked in water. Let's continue with our commercial. Oh, what is that? Those are seeds. Oh, and seeds in the scripture is what, church? Word of God. And the seeds are plastered all over this clay vessel. But where do they need to go? They start out here, but where do they need to go? Inside. And because of the water and the watering, what happens? Let's continue and see. Not anymore. Any of you been to any of those stores recently? No. That's how old this is. But my wife was at Target yesterday. Guess what she saw at Target yesterday? Chia pets. So the Chia doctrine. The Chia doctrine. Amen? Yeah, you like that? That was from the Lord. If you don't like it, it was from me. So what was modeled there in that? Clay vessel. You know, we're not to think too highly of ourselves. We're not to think. I have nothing that I have not received. One of the things in our study to teach class that I pounded into Ryan and Dallas, I don't know if any of you others are here, was the most important thing that you can do to study to teach is to believe that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, will give you what you need to teach. So I am wrestling with this. I had a day and a half to put this message together because the other message I was going to give, I'm going to give it later, another time. And so I'm thinking, okay, how can I illustrate this? And in my memory banks, not in my faith box, was the chia pet. So then I sent it on to Frank, and he was good to put it up there. The clay vessel, though. A vessel dipped in water. Baptism, the water of his word. Water as a type of the Holy Spirit. Seeds, the word of God coming from the outside, penetrating inward. It then the chia took on the appearance of the seeds as they went from nouns to living verbs. And notice it was green. That signifies God really favors the Irish, just so you know. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. We have this argument all the time. I win, though, in all of my classes. But in verse 9, Peter then states what will happen if they do not diligently add these things. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. How many of you want to be in verse 9? I hope not. You want to be in verse 8. And so therefore, what do you need to do? You need to add these things to your faith box. So leaving 2 Peter, Dave is going to do an exposition on all of those words. He's going to tell you that why they're in the sequence they are. And he's going to tell you the fact that they're linked together. And he's going to tell you everything that's going on. And then if he doesn't, what are you guys going to say? John said that you would. I can hear it now. And then I'll be in. So we're going to leave 2 Peter until Dave comes back. We realize that we all have different faith box backgrounds. Most of us here started out in other churches. How many of you that have been attending here for a while and now count this as your church home started in a different church? Okay. Quite a few of you. Okay. We have been taught different faith boxes, some of which were wrong. Some of which were wrong. Many of you were only taught a limited number of faith boxes. You had topical teaching, and you were taught basically the same things over and over, and there's some value to that. But you didn't receive the whole counsel of God. As Paul told the elders at Ephesus, I failed not to give you the whole counsel of God. Many of us still have remnants of our old BC, that means before Christ, life still in our walk with Christ. Some of you still, we still have remnants of our old life. Sometimes we have to subtract before we add to our faith box. There are things in our faith box that need to be taken out. Some of the faith boxes need to be subtracted altogether. Some things within our individual faith boxes need to be subtracted. Some we come to very specific, we come to very specific put-offs. There are things that God wants us to put off in our life, to remove, to take away. Colossians 3:8, I give you the verse there. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Okay? And you're saying to yourself, but that's the work of the flesh. Yes, but they also can be components of our faith boxes inside of us. There are other put-offs in Paul's letters, and we'll not get into them tonight. But there are a lot of things we are to put off, and many of them, unfortunately, exist in the doctrines that we believe. Having put off, removed what stumbles, having broken off downward-pulling relationships, we realize that our spiritual nature abhors a vacuum. So when we put off, we must put on something else as well. In Colossians, he goes on in 3:12-13, and he tells us in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. First you put off, then you put on. May I suggest the word add for put on? Add tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And these are all nouns. You are to add these nouns. You are to put these nouns on, which leads to the verbing, the faithing of these nouns in verse 13. What are the verbs in verse 13? Bearing, bearing with one another, forgiving. These are verbs. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you must also do. That's the verbing of those that you're to put on and to add. This list was very specific for the church at Colossae and is applicable for us to put on as well. Sometimes our faith box includes infected doctrines. Infected doctrines. We often hang on to things we are now to put off because we have doctrinally justified keeping them. Dr. Chuck Missler is now with the Lord drilled into my head over many years. Never underestimate the ability of the human mind to rationalize behavior. Never underestimate the ability of the Christian to rationalize behavior and include that in their faith box. It happens all the time. Why? Because we have received and accepted false teaching. We have received and accepted false teaching. That's on us. Whose worship team is called Twisted Scriptures. You ever been to a church and the worship team is called Twisted Scriptures? Of course they're not going to say that. They're angels of light. Yeah, marvel not, Paul says, that the devil comes as an angel of light. Twisted scriptures. Do we realize that the put-offs of Colossians 3:8 can be biblically rationalized through false teaching? You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to. It's going to be out of context. It's going to be wrong, but you can make it say that, and you can rationalize then your behavior. Do not doubt me. You can rationalize doing these things and others and keep them in your faith box. Sometimes our faith box is infected with some bad doctrines. How does this happen? Our flesh wants it that way. Your flesh wants to be able to do those things. But our flesh requires a second witness, a religious one, if you will. And a religious one is preferred by our flesh. So we find false teachers, we heap them up to ourselves, that have crept into the church early in the first century. There were false teachers. I mean, Jesus has barely gone to heaven, and there's false teachers coming on the scene not many years after. Let me give you some proof of that. In 2 Peter from chapter 2 on, you know what his subject matter is from chapter 2 on? False teachers and false doctrine. Jude, you know what Jude is about? False teachers and false doctrine. 1 John and 2 John are about false teachings that have crept into the church, and John is still alive. And he's correcting them. James deals with false or imbalanced teachings. Hebrews was written to keep Christian Jews from going back to the false teachings of Judaism. Do you think the apostles and those who wrote the New Testament were concerned about false teachings? I mean, immediately they were. How many of you would agree that there's a lot of ink devoted to false teachings and to false teachers in the New Testament? There's a lot. We must at times separate and then shed the chaff from the wheat of our faith box doctrines. How many of you have repented of some things that you've believed and said, you know, I was wrong. I'm going to raise both of my hands on that. Just a couple of us, Bruce, you and I will start a club about things that you were wrong about. You were wrong about. How many times have you heard our pastor say, you know, I used to teach this way, but, you know, I was wrong. Okay, that's okay. It's good. Again, verse 8. cleansing and repairing our faith box in order that we may experience verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the experiential knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, move existing faith boxes in front of your windshield. Now that you've cleaned it up, you're adding it to, there are times you need to put them right into your vision, right in front of you, right in your windshield of your life, if you will, as we drive through this life. That adding means moving what is already in our faith box to the front of your windshield. There are nearly 200 here. They're not all going to be in your present thinking. So many of them are going to be buried. But there's going to be something here that is good, that needs to be in your windshield all day long. It feels like adding because you haven't looked at this box or these boxes for a long time. That is why we go through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're not going to leave anything out. We're not going to avoid tough subjects. Have you heard us? Have you ever heard Pastor Dave say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about this because this is culturally sensitive. I don't think so. No, it's there, a whole counsel of God. Okay? All faith boxes on our list will be brought before your windshield as we drive through the Bible and through life. Take your list out now, what you have in front of you, and put it before the windshield of your eyes right now. We sometimes have to pull and link together some of the doctrinal nouns of our faith box ourselves. Let me give you some cases. Case number one. And if you have a pen, I want you to circle some of these things. So here's the case number one. You are uncertain about forgiveness. You're uncertain about forgiveness. Which of these faith boxes would you bring up into the windshield of your life at that time before your eyes to become certain about forgiveness? Is this important? I think it is. So here's ones I put linked together. Propitiation. These are biblical words, reconciliation, forgiveness, and assurance. They're on this list, okay? I would link those together. I would study those. And I would delve into them because I want to be certain about forgiveness. Mine with God and mine with other people. Case number two, I still get tempted. Am I right with God because I'm getting tempted? So what doctrines would you bring up to deal with that particular issue in someone's life? Well, I circled temptation. You need to know what temptation is. Sin, what is sin and what's not. Confession, atonement, and redemption. I link those together. Now, you may have a different list, but you want to get at the fact that you need to answer the question, I get tempted. Am I right with God? Okay? So you will bring up these things. You'll bring up verses. You'll bring up teachings that you recall. Case number three, I'm living with my fiance. We're going to get married anyway, and we love each other. Is this right? Is this okay? I would circle marriage, sex and sexuality, redemption, confession, forgiveness. Those are the things I would link together in this discussion about this particular question. Case number four, my faith box is new and small and I have questions. Whoa, get into our discipleship program immediately. Ask questions of those who've been walking with Jesus for a while. There are a lot of silver and gray-haired people here who've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Those of you who don't have that color of hair, you may want to look around. There's times you need to talk to people about these things. You have questions. That's why our community groups are to be intergenerational. We don't want just the old folks hanging around with the old folks. We want them to be intergenerational. And I love, because I'm the old folks here, I love going out and teaching high schoolers. I love doing it, but I establish a little bit of a relationship with them. I get to talk to some of those kids and be intergenerational, okay? And we don't want the young people only hanging around with young people. And we started a church. We ended up in Compton, California in the 70s. And the problem with our church was, is you looked at our staff and nobody had any gray hair. We were in our 20s. We came out of hell on earth, got saved, loved Jesus. We could have used a little more wisdom, experience, but it was great. So learn how to use Blue Letter Bible online. Bob Borkovic did a tutorial. It's 1 hour. You take the tutorial on how to use Blue Letter Bible, which you can search for anything in the Bible with that. Take the tutorial, use it. It's free. Did I mention that it's free? How about you guys over here? Did I mention that it was free? That it was free. Blue Letter Bible. And the tutorial is great. You can easily search the scriptures, get great teaching and on different subjects. You can go to gotquestions.org. Gotquestions.org. And look up what specifically is troubling you and see what it says. And then follow that up with men and women leaders here at CCR to confirm what it is that they said to you. But it's a good resource, okay? So you're young in the faith. Your faith box is a little empty, but it's going to grow. Think counsel. You're standing there counseling, talking with somebody, and what's coming, you're listening, and you're listening to two voices. Here's the two voices you listen to. I'm listening to Troy. And I'm listening to the Holy Spirit bring into my cognitive windshield verses, doctrines, things that I can discuss with this person in love and in wisdom. Hopefully it happens. Lastly, as we close, faith box, Holy Spirit, and memory. This is important. Your faith box, and it may not be as large as the list we've handed out. But if you have sat here for some time or attended separate Bible studies here, belong to a community group, you have received at least pieces and parts of each of these words or doctrines. Every one of you that have been here for a while, we have touched upon the subject matter of all of these to some degree in the last year, year and a half. Trust me. So your faith box is growing. There's more there than you realize. Today we have in drawn pictures, we have a faith box. We see that box. We have chia doctrines, clay vessels, seeds watered, growing. But in real time, this all works because of the Holy Spirit and your memorization of Scripture. You're hiding the Word of God in your heart in context. Repeatedly hearing and reading the same Scripture over and over is memorizing it. Meditating on the Word is memorizing it. My wife is memorizing Jude at night, and I'll ask her, "Where are you at?" Because I have a general idea of everything that's going on in the book of Jude, and she's memorizing it word for word. It's short, and so I'll ask her where she's at, and we'll discuss it. It's kind of fun. So Jesus said this, turn to John 14, the last place we'll have you turn. John 14, 24 through 26. And I want you to mark this in your Bible. Now, don't be taking your Sharpie and marking your phone. I'm telling you right now, don't do that. And I have to tell you, I'm approaching 70, and I hate this aspect of getting old, that I'm starting to forget things. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. It's the worst thing for me about getting old, is I'm starting to forget some things. And I cry out to God that I would not forget the things that I shouldn't forget. And so John 14, 24 through 26, verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. The inverse of that is what? He or she that loves me keeps my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So everything that they heard from Jesus, this is the upper room discourse, he's going to be dead in a few days, and then he'll rise again. But everything they've heard came from the Father. They were spoken by Jesus. Jesus said, everything that the Father wanted me to tell you, I have told you. Everything. Now, I don't recall any of these guys having letters or being able to write or having recording devices or carrying around a notepad and writing down 3.5 years worth of the teachings of Jesus Christ to them. You guys recall any of that? Now, I'm arguing from silence, but I don't see any of that here. How did they remember all of that? He goes on, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Everything that when he was present with them, he taught them continuously. But the helper, here we go. The helper, ladies, help me. Help me. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will consistently, that's the Greek there, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How about that? How about that? And I read this, you know how many times, Joey's was teaching on this passage, you know how many times I have looked at that, and because I'm starting to lose some memory, you know what? I've been asking God for this, for me. The Holy Spirit, do I believe that he can do that? Absolutely, I believe that. Do you believe that he can do that? Absolutely, but you got to put it in there. You got to put it in there. All the teaching, all the word that you've received. And then you've got to pray and ask, Father, I need to be filled with your Spirit. And I need for your Spirit to bring to my windshield everything I need to drive through this life. Bring to your remembrance all things. I have this underlined and starred in my Bible. So what are the key ingredients in these verses for us? One, the need to love him more than anyone or anything else. If you are unmarried, here's what I say to the unmarried. Find a potential spouse that loves Jesus more than they'll ever love you. Find a potential spouse that will love Jesus more than they will ever love you. Because if they love him more than you, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a lot of love. It's good. Think about anything. Put anything in that scenario. Number two, hear and keep, memorize, meditate on the word. We have a family over here. The mom's from Texas. Please forgive her that. And they have, she's actually awesome. And her husband's sitting next to her, and they have 4 girls. And these girls memorize scripture. And I had the honor of hearing them. We did, had the honor of hearing them. They had to recite their verses through every book in the New Testament. 3 verses they had memorized. And then, so what I did is I took it a little step further, had kind of fun with it. I said, so what does that mean? So it went like an hour longer. It's kind of like doing discipleship with me. It takes 1.5 years. And so what does that mean? And you know what she did? She told me, what a man. It was awesome. It's great. Hiding the word of God, memorize, meditate. The Holy Spirit, the helper, the teacher of all things. So you have to put it in, and he will bring it up. The one who brings to your memory what you need, and when you need it the most, is the Holy Spirit. Ask the Father to do this for you, as the Spirit did for the apostles. Ask him for it. Why won't he do that? Are you lesser than they are? No. 5, and often he will bring together in your consciousness many of these doctrines from the faith box, and he will bring them to you sequentially for a particular order. Add your faith box, correct your faith box, complete and then turn your faith into faithing. Conversion, nouns to verbs. Amen? Shall we pray?